Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
It is the Sports City Chefs, 1 o'clock. The villain in the house. Baseball buffet. We got a lot to talk about today. Umpires can't get right. Clay Buchholz, spitball supreme. And a whole list of other topics and snacks for you to snack on. You know how we do it. Sports City Chef, let's get it on and poppin'. Popping, call in number 917-889-9592. The villain himself, Barry, in the house, and the main man, Super Grand, the man with the master plan, the microphone master, the freak, Timmy, in the house. Tim, what up, baby?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
Oh, busy day, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. My baby girl, first Mother's Day. So a very special, important one. Got our nice little Pandora bracelet jump off there. You know, got to do it right. So how you doing, Jay?
Doing good. Same here. Happy Mother's Day to my mom, and happy Mother's Day to my beautiful girlfriend. First, want to get that out of the way to get into the whole baseball aspect. Because, you know, hey, if it wasn't for them, where would we be? Nowhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to the moms. But, Barry, it was an eventful week for this week, man. Very crazy week. But I kind of want to start it off talking about the umpires. That was a big thing all week. I brought it up last week on the show. I don't know if you've had a chance to see what it went down. But for those that didn't, Bryce Harper, got called for the third strike and just kind of put his hands up. And if you watch Hirschbeck, the third base umpire who was appealed to for the third strike, he basically threw his hands up and started yelling at Harper. Harper didn't say nothing. He just kind of threw his hands up like, you know, what? That was a strike, you know? Not terrible. He wasn't showing them up. It wasn't a terrible, egregious act. Well, you know, he was the third out of the inning. He threw his helmet down and threw his bat over to the on-deck circle, and he got ejected for that. Now, I was listening to baseball radio earlier this week, and Cal Ripken was on the microphone, and he said, Bryce Harper did nothing to be ejected for. He was the third out of the inning. What do? You take your helmet off, toss it to the side, and you take your bat, toss it to the side for the bat boy to collect, and he got ejected. So, that being said, Barry, this is strike one of the strikes this week for the umpires, in my opinion. What do you think about the Bryce Harper ejection, and should it have been done?
Well, of course not. I mean, you know, Harper doesn't strike me as the kind of kid that shows up umpires. I've never seen him do that so far. You know, I think the umpires are on edge because they're having a pretty bad start to the year, and they've been pretty kind of shitty. You know, the last year or two, we've kind of lambasted them on our show last year from, you know, the Phillip Humber perfect game that didn't happen to all the blown calls. And then, you know, even this week, not only with this Bryce Harper incident, there was the incident in, with the Astros that they, you know,
Hold on.
But you know what I mean? Like,
don't go to it yet. That's another one.
Exactly. And so they're on edge, and they've been getting hammered everywhere. So, I mean, now, you know, anything that you do against them to show them up, even if you don't, if they think you are or not, they're taking it personally. And I think the umpires are on edge because I think Major League Baseball in general has to step in and say, you know what, you guys suck, and you guys got to get better because this is ridiculous.
All right, I'll take you to strike two here. I believe it was Wednesday night. Rosales deep fly ball to left center field, and it hits the bar above the fence. There's the fence there to keep the fans safe. It hits the fence, bounces back into play. Rosales goes to second base. They go in, review the play, come back out, and, of course, it's everybody's favorite umpire, Angel Hernandez. And he comes back out and says, no home run. It's a double. Now, everyone in the park, I had a chance to go back, listen to both feeds because I have the MLB radio app here. And the Cleveland guys said it was a home run. The Oakland guys said it was a home run. About 15,000 fans said it was a home run. And the only person in the stadium that didn't think it was a home run was Angel Hernandez. So they call it double. Bob Melvin comes out of the dugout and blows up on Angel Hernandez. Now, with the new rules in place, you're not allowed to argue after they go and review the play. He comes out of the dugout, and you can kind of, if you lip read a little bit, Melvin and Hernandez got into it a couple days prior, and he said, you're doing this to me on purpose. You're trying to F me, and, you know, you're doing this on purpose. Hernandez really never came out and spoke in the situation. MLB did, said that the call was wrong and that they basically issued the apology, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, Barry, that's black and white. That's plain as day. The umpires are saying that they didn't have a good TV to watch it on, but I find that very hard to believe. How do they get that wrong when you go to replay and you see it?
I mean, I think it's really a case of what we've always said about umpires, that they're gutless. They don't have the ball to take a stand and make the right call on a play. They're just going to do the safe call. And at that moment in time, the safe call was the double. I mean, everybody saw it was a home run. I mean, it's atrocious that you even have replay and you still get it wrong. I mean, 10 years ago, the game was going too slow. I think the average time of a game was about 2 minutes and 56 seconds, maybe more than that. So Major League Baseball came out and said, no, we got to put these rules in place to quicken the game. And they quickened the game on average by 10 seconds to like 2:46 or 2:44 or something like that. Now the game is extended again because these umpires are kicking around in the replay booth because they can't figure out what a home run is. I mean, replay helps to me, but it hurts because it takes the common sense out of it. Now they don't have the ball to make a play on the field. And they definitely don't have the balls to reverse the call after going into replay because they're relying on replay. They've extended the length of the game. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I cannot believe that you could go into a booth, look at the replay for about 10 minutes, and still get it wrong. I think they were watching The Simpsons or South Park in the booth instead of replaying the play because it's clear as day.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, for those, there was a lot of stuff being floated out there that they don't see the same replays we see, that, you know, it was a little box TV. No, MLB has said that they see the same replays we see. They see everything crystal clear like we do. And I don't know about you guys, but sitting at home getting to watch it, the replay over and over, there's no doubt that that was a home run. I don't know what they were looking at. I really do question if Angel Hernandez, who is actually, you know, voted as one of the least liked umpires in MLB, if he had a personal vendetta against Bob Melvin for what had happened a couple days prior. So, you know, that's just strike two of the week. And Barry, for three, and I do want to come back to the replay thing after this, but for strike three, we had the Astros, Angels, Bo Porter goes to the mound, first-year manager, Bo Porter goes to the mound, brings in a pitcher. Mike Socha goes ahead and pinch hits, which was the pitcher spot, and pinch hits. Well, Bob Melvin, after he sees the pinch hitter, walks back to the mound and gets the pitcher. Now, MLB rules state that a pitcher must pitch to the batter, which is the pinch hit batter, before you can take him out of the game. Bob Melvin went out there, switched pitchers, and the guy had never thrown a pitch. Now, Barry, I don't know if you heard his explanation for this.
Now, I didn't hear an explanation. I know that much.
He said he got this from Davey Johnson. He learned it from Davey Johnson, which is now Nationals manager, that the rules state, and this is what he told the umpires, that the pitcher must pitch to the original batter. Since the original batter was not in the game and they brought in a pinch hitter, he doesn't have to throw a pitch to him, and he can bring in a new pitcher to pitch to that original batter. Now, that's completely crazy, ludicrous, and it's a little bit confusing. I could see, you know, what he was trying to say is completely wrong. No one could say that in the MLB rule book, which by chance the umpires do carry around in the back pocket with them. They do have a little MLB rule book that they must carry on them at all times. So instead of going and checking that little rule book, they just said, oh, yeah, sounds good. Sounds good to me. All right, you can do this. And they allowed him to switch pitchers without ever throwing a pitch. Barry, you're knowing that the umpires carry that little book and looked up and saw this.
Right. I mean, I don't know. You know, it just makes you scratch your head. It's a completely and they suspended the umpire, right? That made that call.
They suspended him.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I know the Major League rule book is almost as big as the Bible, and not everybody knows every verse in the Bible. But I mean, your sole job is to know that rule book. And, you know, and I think the rest of the crew was fine, too. You know, it's a goof. It's kind of like the Tiger Woods ball drop, but Tiger Woods knew he was screwing up and he tried to get away with it. I mean, these guys just absolutely just dropped the ball, to be quite honest. And you know, It's really to the point where you just got to take these umpires aside and you got to retrain them. You got to test them every year. You got to maybe halfway through the year to make sure they know the rules. They're enforcing the rules properly. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, calling home runs when it's home runs. I said it last year. These umpires have to be held accountable. And they still haven't done it, and now you had a week of disasters with these umpires where they've not only screwed over teams, but they've decided the outcome of the game. Because, mind you, that home run that wasn't called that we talked about earlier, that would have tied the game in the ninth inning. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, now they're costing games. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I completely agree, and this is what I want to bring up. And I think that one sport gets it right with the whole replay thing, and I'm sure you've probably heard this. I'm sure you listen to sports a lot like I do. But, you know, the NHL gets it right, Barry. They have one command center. The referee's wrong. He goes to the command center, makes a phone call. I don't know if it's toll-free, if he, you know, gets an 800 number or not. I don't know all that. You know, God forbid the guy have to use his minutes. But they make a phone call. They call one place in Toronto. They look at the replay. They, you know, say, hey, you know, goal, no goal. And they come back out. It takes less than 2 minutes for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Why does MLB not have this? If you want the home run replay rule, great. I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they not go to this hockey command center where you have people watching the games, the umpires, instead of going in there where, you know, hey, like I said with Angel Hernandez, this could have been a personal vendetta. You take that aside where someone's questioning a call or maybe, a manager got into an argument. This is a completely neutral, not in the game, not in the emotions of the game, command center. And they say, hey, you know, home run. It takes 2 minutes. It might take, 2 minutes for your phone bill, but 2 minutes, and there you go. You have your call. You're back on the field, and you're ready to play. And it's completely neutral. Why does MLB not go to something like this? Are they too proud to say they follow something that another sport did?
I think MLB, it's tough because we sit here and say baseball is a tradition sport. Like, they stick to the old rules and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, they gotta try and make this game. They gotta try to make it. I don't know how to word it. As accurate as possible without breaking the tradition, the history of the game. I mean, replay is supposed to do that, but it's like you're still getting it wrong. Like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, this is why the umpires are there to officiate the game, obviously, but to control the game. And they have apparently lost control of the game. Like, they, it's terrible. I really can't stress enough how much I have really lost respect for the umpires, how they just really can't be trusted. They cannot be trusted.
No, you know what, Barry, and I'm old school, like I always say, I'm old school with it. I don't want replay for everything. I don't want replay at first base or a guy sliding in the third. You know, I don't want that. But the home run call and maybe fair or foul, if you want to throw that in there, I'm okay with. But everything else, you know, just let it be. I don't want a robot calling balls and strikes. I love that the umpire's strike zones vary. You hate it some days, you love it some days. You know, bottom line, some days you win, some days you don't. And I love that a pitcher can nitpick at the outside corner, and it might be a strike for one umpire, but not another. That's fine. I love that. That's what I love about the game. The varies that come in. I love that the fences are different in every ballpark. I like that. But for me, the home run rule and the fair and foul could very easily be done by a command center in New York or wherever the hell you want to put it. Des Moines, Iowa, for all I care.
Localize it. You could put it in 3-4 time zones, whatever you want.
Exactly. You could put it in different time zones. It creates some jobs, yada, 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 whatever else political stuff you want to make out of it. But, yeah, you know, it for me, that's the way to go. I mean, just watching the NHL playoffs and watching, you know, big goals be decided by a command center, whereas it's like, okay, you know, this is awesome. It's a goal. It took 2 minutes to decide. Face off in the center ice. You know, baseball could do that. And I think that they should do it. I don't know if they're too proud to implement it. But, you know, enough harping on the umpires. I just really wanted to get those three things out there. And
I hear you. And you know what's really crazy? I found out about it a little while ago. The Philip Umber, who got screwed over with the perfect game last year, just got designated for assignment. So from perfect game to basically out of the majors. Wow.
Well, he just pitched against the Tigers last week, and I believe the Tigers are still they're still adding up an ERA from that game. So
I think they're still calculating it.
Well, there's still runs that are actually scoring from that game, so it's not done yet. But you know, I do want to get into this Buchholz thing. We promised it last week. We didn't get into it. We'll get to it this week. Barry, I'll let you go ahead and lead off this Clay Buchholz cheating scandal.
I mean, you know, it was, you got to go through it, man. You're the one that was, like, up in arms. I thought you were going to have an aneurysm just describing it.
Well, you know, you look at the tapes, and they've done this. Jack Morris brought it up. Jack Morris.
I'm trying to stay neutral because you know I hate Boston. I'm trying to, you know.
That's fine. Jack Morris brought it up. He went down. He actually talked to a couple guys. He noticed that Buchholz was touching his arm a lot. And in video of, you know, previous starts, he was doing this year. Now, Clay Buchholz was undefeated at the time. He was pitching lights out. And he went ahead and, you know, checked it out. Well, then he looked at starts from previous years, and there wasn't this touching of the arm. So Jack Morris, you know, now Jack Morris is a black and white guy, tells it like it is. Anyone that knows him knows he's an asshole. Went down there, told it like it was, said, I think you're cheating. Well, Buchholz, you know, and the Red Sox didn't appreciate that very much. Were kind of up in arms. Well, this story started to, you know, grow some legs. And it was being picked up nationally by a lot of, you know, the national people, including
ESPN.
Us.
ESPN broke the news first.
Oh, yeah, ESPN and Sports City. But,
ESPN, any news, any sports news that comes out, ESPN breaks it first or it didn't get broken. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I understand that's how they try to do it. But you know, let's give ourselves some credit here.
Listen, Sports City all day. I mean, I'm just talking about the hypocrisy of ESPN. How I don't know what happened, but their ego has gotten to Chris Berman level, where they're just like, if it's not news unless we break it. Exactly. It's not news unless we break it kind of thing. Like, they're out of this world.
Right. And, you know, with the Buchholz thing, me and TP were discussing it. And, you know, there was the Twins were his next start after this whole incident with the whole cheating scandal. And he's like, you know, hey, Buchholz is going against the Twins. You know, I'm not going to go into detail on what the conversation was about. But I'm like, no, dude. I said, the Twins are going to get to him tonight. He's like, what? I'm like, the Twins are going to get to him. The whole world is watching now after this whole scandal. And what happened, the Minnesota Twins got to Clay Buchholz, handed him his first loss of the season, and he didn't look good. Since then, he has not looked like, you know, the Clay Buchholz we saw the first couple starts of the year. If you notice, he's not going to the arm. He's not touching himself as much as he was. No, no, yeah, exactly. I was waiting for that part.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. But, yeah, he definitely has changed. His little pre-pitch ritual. Now, Barry, I'll ask you, do you believe that Buchholz, take your Yankee bias out of it, was cheating? And do you believe that, you know, adding stuff to the ball does make a difference?
Adding stuff to the ball does make a difference. I actually tried it when I was younger, just fooling around. Because I always saw, like, I remember seeing, it's a random thing, the old Naked Gun movie where a Frank Drebin pretends to be the umpire and he's going to check the pitcher because he thinks he has a bomb on him and he's pulling out Vaseline and all this stuff and sanding paper and then he says, all right, you're cool. That's the joke. But I was like, why does that work? And I tried a little Vaseline playing with my friends and it helps you, you know, like a curveball is friction. The friction from your fingers off the seam. So once you have a little lubricant on there, the friction is a little less, and you actually get more spin on it. It's science. So it does actually work a little bit. I don't know how much it works, but it depends on your fingers, how you grip it, blah blah blah. That being said, Jack Morris come out to me and said he's apologized to the ball call, saying he didn't want to take away from his performance, and he's basically apologized to him. So the controversy is kind of dying down a little bit. I mean,
but the damage is done. That's the thing. The damage is done.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. Once you put it out there, this is going to follow Buchholz for the rest of the year, at least. And I can't sit here and say that he did or didn't. I wasn't privy to any tapes. You know, I can't see any better than anybody else can. You know, I can't say he was, because I don't know. All I know is that Jack Morris has come out and said something, and then you got a Johnny Come Lately, Dirk Hayhurst, the broadcaster for the Blue Jays, saying that Buchholz was absolutely cheating, to quote him. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say yes or no. I'm not going to say yes, he is, because he's a Red Sox and I hate him, or no, because I don't believe he would do so. I don't know. We said a lot of things about people cheating in this game the last couple of years, and we've been dead wrong. You know, it's ironic that after this controversy came out, he's kind of struggled slightly. You know what I mean? It is convenient to kind of say that. I don't know. I can't say. I honestly can't, Tim. I hope he's not. I have to see. I have to see it for myself. I have to see the evidence that he's doing it. But I think there's a smoking gun that's following this kid around, because he got off to a 6-0 start with just dominating. And this is a guy that's been middle of the road for the Red Sox. The guy that they were trying to trade to the Indians for the longest, and they couldn't move him. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this is all of a sudden he it's a light flashed on, and he got it. It's convenient.
Right, exactly. So, you know, for me, I'm not going to say he was cheating or not. I wanted to touch on the story just because it was a hot thing last week, and
right,
he did promise it this week. And I did think it was, you know, it's good to talk about it now after two starts where Buchholz hasn't looked the same as what he did in the beginning of the year. You know, just as, you know, it is to look at, you know, 2020 hindsight. We actually got to see a couple starts before we talked about this now, and it hasn't looked good. It hasn't looked like he was. But I do want to touch on another thing here. No no pun intended. No, you know, that's what she says. But what the St. Louis Cardinals have done the last 2 days to the Colorado Rockies, Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby Miller, one hit to the leadoff hitter, perfect game the rest of the way, complete game shutout.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Wainwright comes back the next night and shuts him out and no hits them for seven and a third or seven and two thirds.
Yeah, he took either a perfect game or no hitter into the eighth inning.
Yeah, it was 7 1/3, I believe, and Nolan Arenado, the Rockies' top prospect, broke up the no-no. But he went complete game shutout. The Rockies managed to get three hits in 2 days. Is that one of the most special back-to-back pitching performances you've ever seen out of somebody? Because we've never had back-to-back no-hitters. But
no, we haven't.
You know, to see what St. Louis did, I don't think it gets enough credit to see what they did to a team 2 days in a row.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen consecutive scoreless inning streaks, you know, and all that good stuff. We've seen a couple shutouts back-to-back, but to see, you know, pitching dominance to that level back-to-back, you got to tip your hat to the pitchers, Wainwright and company first. But then you got to say, what's up with Colorado? Maybe the Yankees put them into a little swamp. You never know. But you got to get a little Yankee plug there. But, I mean, it's really fascinating to see, because you know, Wainwright, I'm not sure 100% if it was a perfect game or no hitter, but anytime you take it that deep into a game, you're rooting for it. You definitely want to see it happen. You're kind of when he breaks it up and loses it. It's two back to back dominant performances. I mean, I remember in the playoffs, Arizona and the Yankees, where, you know, you saw Schilling and Johnson just, you know, every start they had, they pretty much dominated. And it's kind of liking to that, and it's probably on another level because of how dominant those two performances back-to-back against the same team was. I mean, you know, almost perfect, you know, no-hitter type stuff 2 days in a row. I mean, as a hitter, what are you supposed to do? Like, you know, you just almost throw the bat at the ball and hope you make contact, really.
Yeah, they've looked really bad. The swings have been really, really bad. Colorado's gone into a little bit of a hitting funk, and, you know, we told you before, if they ain't hitting, they ain't winning. They got a run in order to win. This pitching staff isn't exactly the greatest staff in baseball, so they've got to go ahead and get back into that smooth groove hitting that they were into. I'll allow you to talk New York, but it's not going to be Yankees.
Right.
I'll allow you to go into this Matt Harvey. Basically, he had the perfect game going. Why don't you go ahead and take us through that Matt Harvey start?
Yeah, I want to talk Yankees, too, about the Jabba Mariano incident. I don't know if you heard about that. Have you? No? Maybe?
All right. No, I heard
silence,
about it.
The
but...
silence makes me feel like you don't want to talk about the Yankees, which is fine. We'll talk about the Yankees. Anyway, I mean, Matt Harvey, he's pitching today, 1 o'clock. I think he's going right now. You know, just being Matt Harvey, actually just let up a double. I think I jinxed him. But, I mean, perfect game stuff at Shea Stadium. He is worth the price of admission. I mean, we both picked him as a Rookie of the Year candidate. If you know, he is eligible. And, you know, he hasn't disappointed. If anything, he's exceeded our expectations. You know, the doctor, Doc Gooden, is singing praises about him. Tom Seaver, Ronnie Darling, all of the Mets legendary players, pitchers, and guys that won here in the city, talking about him. And he's got the stuff. I mean, we don't have to go into detail. The electric fastball, command of his other pitches. He's an event in New York. When he pitches, you got to watch. Even as a Yankee fan, when he pitches, I have to flip to the game and watch him pitch. You know what I'm saying? He has got it, and he's got it between the ears too. He talks a good game, backs it up. He is a sight to behold, and you know, and it sucks because you know the Mets are really struggling. They don't score many runs when he pitches or doesn't pitch. Their offense is horrid. So I mean, you know, they can't get people in the stands. I think they had got maybe 20,000 in the stands to watch this guy pitches, but when he pitches, you got to be in the stands. You got to be watching on TV because he is something else. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I got one of those here in Detroit who happens to be pretty good, mm-hmm. and people want to tune in and watch him start. But
exactly.
I know what you're saying with Harvey, and I'll pose this question to you.
Okay.
Because there's been a lot of good pitching this year, more so than years past. Offensive numbers, as usual in April, are down, but it's kind of carried into May this year. Young pitchers, if you could have one young arm right now in baseball, and by young arm I'll say 25 and under, who would that young arm be for you?
It's no doubt about it. It's Matt Harvey. I mean, when you're flirting with perfection going into your first full season as a starter, and you have pretty much a cult following right now, you got all these people following you, and there's a lot of pressure on you to pitch well because, you know, your team doesn't get a lot of wins when you're not on the mound. And he steps up to the occasion, and he mows them down. I mean, he didn't even get the decision. Pitched 9 innings, gave up 1 hit, and they had to win it in extra frames. And you know what I mean? He is just, he's the guy. He's legit to me. I hope it's sustained success because I've seen the other side of that, especially in New York with the Mets, that when they had the big three years ago, I think it was Pelfrey, Isringhausen, and company, and that just fell apart faster than you can shake a stick at. So, I mean, yeah, I like Matt Harvey. I mean, Strasburg is good. I mean, you know, he's still got the electric fastball and all that. And there's some other young kids that are coming up that are really good. But, I mean, for my money, I get to see him every 5 days. Matt Harvey is legit.
Wow, okay. You're going to go Harvey. I honestly expected you to go Harvey. So that isn't really a surprise to me. For me, I still think Harvey, yes, he's had a great start to the season. It still is a very, very young season, and as we know, young pitchers do tend to wind up. Strasburg is another guy you did mention. He's another guy. For me, guys, it's definitely Clayton Kershaw. He's 25 years old right now, so he does qualify for this. Clayton Kershaw is probably the best young pitcher to me in baseball. He's having the same problem as Harvey, though. He's not getting the run support. But what Clayton Kershaw has done in his career and what he's done over the last couple of years, whereas I know he has a track record ahead, behind him, he's got a Cy Young to his credit already. Clayton Kershaw, to me, is the best young pitcher. And, you know, I also is David Price. David Price is 25 and under, isn't he? I'm almost 100% sure he's another guy who
I wouldn't say he is.
No. He's 27, I think.
Right.
He's 27. So no, Price doesn't qualify for me. It's Clayton Kershaw, just because
the track record
matches everything that he's done, and he's still elite at this point in baseball terms.
Yeah, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is a stud, and he is easily a Cy Young candidate, you know, every year in, year out. I mean, I like him, too. I think he's the best pitcher under 25. But, I mean, if I had to pick one, I would take Harvey. I like his stuff. I like his makeup. And to be able to do what he does in New York under the microscope and in the shadow of the Yankees, I mean, I like the kid. I really do.
All right, well, this one's going to bring me to my next topic. I've been really excited about this one.
Hang on. I got to bring up two things really quickly, okay?
All right.
Bryce Harper is coming back from the ingrown toenail. I know that helps.
Yes.
And I had to bring this up because it was a little funny to me. It's like it was just a misunderstanding, but when you do it in front of the media, it's a story, especially in New York, where Jabba Chamberlain and Mariano Rivera pretty much got into it a little bit. Not much, but I mean, you know, before the game yesterday, Mariano was talking about how he met kids before the game, had emotional meeting with local fans and all that stuff. And everybody remembers, you know, Kansas City is where Mo got hurt last year, tore up his knee. And, you know, Chamberlain was next to him while Mariano was talking to reporters with his family, talking to his family. And Rivera, you know, asked Chamberlain to lower his voice. And then afterwards, after, you know, he was done with the interview and the media was still there, Jabba told him, don't ever shush me. Like, and I guess Jabba was serious about it. And, you know, they pretty much laughed it off. It was like nothing major, whatever. But, you know, it kind of reminded me of kind of like Kings of Comedy where you know, Cedric Entertainment said, grown man, don't shush me, though. I'm a grown man. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a little story like that gets into a big story. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but,
boy.
Okay, I'm a grown man.
I was trying so hard to get through this whole show with no Yankees, no Tigers talk. I was trying so hard, Barry, and we were doing
okay.
We were doing it.
To Matt Harvey, you bring up Verlander, that's avoiding Tiger talk, right?
No, that wasn't Tiger talk. That was saying I have a guy that has electric stuff that is a must-watch start, and I know what you're talking about. I was confirming what you were saying about Matt Harvey. I wasn't talking about how the Tigers are rolling or anything like that. You know, hey, easy. I do want to get to this, though. I've been told that before. But Barry, I want to get to this. This is something I was really excited about. I texted you, I believe it was Wednesday, about this.
I kind of no-sold the text. I was busy doing stuff. So.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Hey, I understand. But I want to do this. I've asked different people in chat room if you want to get involved, if you want to call in, go ahead and call in and give us your opinion on this. But
calling number 917-889-9592.
Yep, and Barry, I'll ask you, if you were starting a franchise today and you had to take one player, pitcher, hitter, you know, reliever, who would that player be? Now, I want you to take this into consideration. You're starting it today, so you get that player at the age that they are today.
Yeah.
You get with the skill level that they have today, knowing either they're going to go downhill or uphill from the point that they're at now. also take into account leadership qualities, franchise marketability, and, you know, just what you think that player is going to be. I mean, you know, position scarcity, take that into consideration also. Who would the player be that you start your franchise with?
I mean, you know, for my money, 10 years ago, you know who that answer is. You know who that answer is.
Miguel Cabrera.
What?
10 years ago, Miguel
Jeter,
Cabrera would have been that guy.
Derek Jeter did this. What is wrong with you? Yeah, it would have been Derek. But, I mean, right now, you know who I'm going to say. You know. You know who I'm picking. It ain't Miguel Cabrera. It's the man, the myth, the legend himself, Robbie Cano. Don't you know? Come on, man. He's a stud. Offensively, I think he's starting to grow into his own as the leader of that team because, hey, Derek's not there. Avery's not there. You know, the Brandy man, Teixeira, those guys aren't there. I mean, you got pitchers that are leaders, too, you know, like Pettit, Moe, Sabathia, but I think as a hitter, everyday player, you know, Cano is leading by example and really starting to take on that responsibility and starting to come through for it. You know, he's one of the best hitters in the game. Split fielder, hits for power, hits for average, drives and runs. I mean, he's worth his weight in gold. He's my guy. I would love to start a team with him. Obviously, there's a lot of young players that you would start with. Your boy,
Hold on.
No, I mean, there's a lot of good players out there that need consideration too. But I mean, for my money, I get to see him every day. The fact I get to see Harvey every fifth day, I would love to start a team with him.
All right, now I'm gonna ask this, and you know this is coming.
Okay.
Now you know right away you're not getting this franchise in New York, so you're not getting the New York market. You have to take into account, Barry, Robbie Cano is 30 years old. Now,
right.
You're looking at starting a franchise with a 30-year-old.
And
you're getting but you're only getting, you know, 5 good years, so to speak, out of Robbie Cano. That's what you're,
right.
maybe 5 out. I'll give you 4, and the 5th will be a declining year. But
so 4 years with an option?
basically. Now, you're going to take – and let me preface this by saying, if you're going to take a 30-year-old, why would you not take Miguel Cabrera, who's the best hitter in the game right now, if you're taking a 30-year-old? Now,
because
I know Cano –
took the best hitter in the game.
No,
you don't listen.
Okay. Barry, hold on. You're not going to do this. You're not – the batting title the last 2 years has gone to Miguel Cabrera. He's won 2 home run titles, and he's won the RBI title the last 3 years.
We just have to agree to disagree.
I'm gonna hold on.
Tomato, you say tomato. I say Cano's the best hitter, you say Cabrera. But what?
No, I'm not taking Cabrera to start my franchise.
Yes,
I'm just
you
saying
are.
If you're
yes,
no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Because
all right.
Here's why I'm not taking Cabrera to start my franchise. Number one, okay. He's 30 years old. I'm gonna get 4 good years, maybe 5 good years out of him. Number two, and this isn't racist, but this is a fact, and I wrote a blog about this. He's not marketable. He's a Venezuelan player who does not have a good grasp on the English language, and he's not marketable. That's my number two. He's not even – he's behind Verlander and Prince Fielder in terms of marketability on this team in Detroit. People, you know, load those two up on commercials here in Detroit before Cabrera, and Cabrera just won the MVP. Number three with Cabrera – he's a third baseman now. He'll probably finish at first base, maybe DH. That's the other reason I wouldn't take Cabrera. For me, and I'll throw a couple of names out there. You already know the names that were mentioned. You know, Mike Trout was mentioned. Bryce Harper was mentioned.
Yep.
Andrew McCutchen was a guy who was mentioned. Troy Tulowitzki was mentioned. Matt Kemp and Buster Posey were the out of the 6 people that I asked. Those were the 6 names I got. I got a different name from everybody. These people are from around the United States, so that does work. Cano was
who would I pick out of those 6 guys? Is what you're asking?
No, I'm not. No, you gave me your opinion. I respect that you picked Cano. I understand why you picked Cano, but I was just making the argument that he's 30 years old, and to start a franchise, when you can get one of these young, much younger players who's a similar player to what Cano is, you know, why you would pick the 30-year-old. But for me, here's the argument for Buster Posey. I would move him immediately. He would never be my catcher. He would be my first baseman.
Exactly.
That's the only thing I had to say about Posey. My buddy, he's a Yankee fan. He picked Cano last night. I gave him a hard time about it the same way I'm giving you a hard time about it, that he's 30 years old, and if you're going to pick a 30-year-old, why not Cabrera or Verlander? But I'll preface my pick by saying this. I would never take a pitcher. Steven Strasburg, Verlander, Kershaw, I would never take a pitcher. They're one pitch away from ending their career. Yeah, Harvey. They're one pitch away from ending their career, so I would never pick a pitcher. For me, Barry, it comes down to two guys. It's Bryce Harper, who's 20, or Mike Trout, who's 21. Or is he 21 or 22?
I don't know about Trout. I don't think he's going to live up to the first year he had. Everybody knows that, you know, you love Harper, and rightfully so. I love the clutch. I think he's starting to get it. He's got all the tools. He's a phenomenal player.
He's only 26. And he's only 26.
And he doesn't get enough credit that he deserves. He's a phenomenal player. But, I mean, those two first two are the names that everybody's going to pick. But if you start throwing out names and rattling them off too lifty, Hope of Posey, Clutch, I mean, then you start to think, why wouldn't I start with Buster Posey? He's the best catcher in the game. Why wouldn't I start with the Clutch? He's probably arguably one of the best outfielders in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's that argument. So, but I know where your heart lies. I know where you...
You know who I'm going to pick. I don't need the music for this, Barry. I mean, the kid is 20 years old. Now, like I said, for what you're going to take this guy to be, your franchise player, he's number one. He's very good. There's no one that's questioning he's very good. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. Yeah, this isn't just a hype machine. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. He's dealt with the limelight and dealt with the spotlight, the scrutiny, the haters, and everything that's come along with that since 16 years old. So he has a good leadership base. He's got a good locker room quality to him there. Number two, he's marketable. You can put him on the cover of anything. Doesn't matter what. He's been on Men's Health, Sports Illustrated, GQ, Muscle and Fitness. Doesn't matter. He's marketable.
I'm going to argue that. And I want you to hear me out, that I don't think Bryce Harper is as marketable as you think, because there's a lot of hate. I'm a hater. Haters are going to hate. So while he's got that look, and he's got that you know, movie star quality look to him, there's a lot of people that hate his gut for whatever reason.
Barry, I will do this. I will do this for you, and only you might understand why I'm going to say this. And, Barry, who is the most marketable athlete in WWE? John Cena. Who's the most hated athlete in WWE? John Cena.
Right.
Am I not right with that? It doesn't – love him or hate him. Love him or hate him. You may buy that article for two different reasons. One, because you want to hate every word that he says in it, or two, because you want to be like me and love every word he says in it. So he's marketable in the sense that there's two different things. There's no in-between. You either love him or hate him, and that's still marketability. Whether you love someone or hate them, you still care enough to buy it.
No, I agree with you. I think John Cena is the perfect example. I talked to John a couple of times. He's a great guy. You know, they hate him for the reasons that they love him. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I watched this documentary on George Lucas, and the reasons why you hate him for a long time turn into the reason why you love him is for a long time turns into the reason why you hate him, because there's nowhere else to go but to hate. So I think that's kind of where Bryce Harper is going to be at some point. But either way, you're still talking about him. And it's like, you don't hate him personally. You hate what he stands for, or hate how he's used, or, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you do hate him. I hate LeBron personally. I think he's a jerk. But, I mean, you know, I don't know him personally. You know what I mean? I have never met the guy. So,
right.
Yeah. but haters are going to hate. And I think Bryce Harper, while he will sell tickets, right? He will boost your ratings if he's on TV on the ESPN Game of the Week. He will move some sodas if he's endorsing your Pepsi. There still are guys that are haters and might not want to watch him or might not want to buy his stuff because they hate him.
I agree with that. But for me, Barry, he's very marketable. He's been on the cover of everything you can imagine. And, you know, there was a line that one of the announcers said, the Tigers played the Nats this week, and one of the announcers for the Tigers said, look at Bryce Harper going throwback wearing stirrups. He's like, half the kids in the neighborhood don't know what stirrups are, but I bet they're wearing them to their next practice. He said, I bet they're wearing them to their next practice. Oh, the stirrups are great, dude. The throwback look is great.
Did you have the high ones?
Yep, he had the high ones all the way up to the knee, like the long sock with the stirrup. Yeah,
yep.
It was very, very good look. Very good look. But that's what he said. He said, you know, half the kids in the neighborhood don't know what stirrups are, but I guarantee they're wearing them to their next practice because this guy's got them on. Now, that's marketability. And you take into account he's 20 years old. Bottom line, he's 20. You could have him for the next 15 years, and you're going to get 15 years out of prime Bryce Harper. Look at the pace that he's on right now, and I'm going to do this because I sent this to you, and I saw this last week on my Facebook page. To compare their first years of Bryce Harper, Ken Griffey Jr., and Mickey Mantle, which were arguably the best 19/20-year-olds in the game to ever play the game. Mantle's average in his first year was 272. Griffey's was 264. Harper's at 284. Their home run totals, Mantle had 13 at 19 and 20. Griffey had 16 at 19 and 20. And Harper's at 31. Slugging percentage, 449 for Mantle, 420 for Griffey, 518 for Harper. Now, that's some pretty damn good company. You're talking about two surefire Hall of Famers right there. And Griffey, who everyone growing up emulated in the backyard.
Yeah.
Griffey's another guy that you either loved or you hated him for, you know, your own reasons.
I don't know a lot of people that hated Griffey, though. Wow.
I do. I know a couple people that didn't like him because of the hype machine and because of everything that came along with it. Of course, you know, that wasn't the internet age. Yeah, that wasn't the internet age. But, you know, there were still people that didn't like him because of the hype that came with Griffey. But, Barry, what this kid is doing at this age, and to be a student of the game, he's the leader of that Nationals team. No one will tell you anything different. He is the guy to go to. He's the guy on the cover of the programs, all of that. To me, he's the choice. Mike Trout, as much as, you know, I don't really care for what Mike Trout is, I'm not a huge Mike Trout guy. I understand he's a very good player. And, no, he may never, ever put up a season like he did last year, which is what I tried to warn people. But
right.
He's still only 21 years old. And the numbers he still puts up, if he hits 280 this year, hits about 25 home runs, drives in about 80 and steals about 40 to 50 bases, that's still franchise-starting numbers that are better than Andrew McCutchen, better than Matt Kemp, better than Tulowitzki, Posey, all of the above. That's still numbers that put him in the top class of the elite. No, it's not going to be his rookie year numbers because those were Mickey Mouse numbers that even in the video game are hard to put up. So for me, it comes down to those two guys with an honorable mention to McCutchen. So, you know, you knew where my heart was going to lie, obviously. I definitely was going to pick Harper because of all the above. But, Barry, you walk into a sports store right now, which I did 3 weeks ago, to buy some baseball cleats. And right at the display, there's the Nike and there's the Under Armour. On the Nike page, it was literally Mike Trout and Andrew McCutchen. On the Under Armour page, it was Matt Kemp and Bryce Harper. That's marketability. And those are two guys with two very exceptional brands of cleats and exceptional brands in terms of, you know, U.S. marketability. Those were the four guys that were sitting on the front page of that. Also, I'm sorry, Buster Posey was also on the Under Armour one.
Right.
So those are five guys that are the guys in baseball. So that's the next generation. What we have now with the Jeters, the Canos, the Cabreras, Verlanders, Pujols, you know, those guys, they're on their way out. This is what's going to keep baseball alive. This is the next generation that we have to look forward to. And you know what, Barry, it's a very, very bright future for, you know, those five plus, you know, the Tulowitzkis and that, you know, Kershaw and Matt Harvey. Those guys are a great group that we have to look forward to moving forward in the baseball. And hopefully it gets away from the steroid era of baseball and looks at the young, new, what I like to call hybrid talent with the power speed combo. We've gotten away from the straight power area of baseball, and we're getting more into a power speed hybrid type of athlete that's playing the game now. And hopefully that, you know, transcends away from what people believe to be the steroid era with the big muscle heads and, you know, those guys like that. Hopefully this changes things. I don't know if the chat room has chimed in, if they have a guy or not.
No, they don't really have a guy. I mean, I agree. Like, listen, for the money, Bryce Harper is going to be the best investment the longer period of sustained excellence and all that good stuff. I'm partial to Clutch because I think he's a phenomenal baseball player. But you're right. There's a lot of young talent coming in at a young age, which happens every couple of years, every like 5-6 years, where you're going to crop a young talent. And these are the guys. And I think these guys, you know, can really hold this game down for a long time. And the pitching is obviously there. We mentioned the top young pitching prospects that are, you know, showing their mettle in this game. But for the money, those hitters are phenomenal players. And I really think, you know, you're going to see a lot of those guys. And you know, Kemp, I hope he gets back to, you know, we talked about him last week, I think, and, you know, how long he was at the plate. I hope he gets back to it because, you know, that year he put together was something out of this world. And, you know, you hope that it wasn't a fluke, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the video that was circulating around Facebook and YouTube this week with Matt Kemp after the game. A child had cerebral palsy, was sitting in the front row, and Kemp went over there and literally undressed and gave the kid his hat, his gloves, his jersey, his cleats,
wow,
everything. Gave his child all that stuff after the game, high-fived his dad and all that. You know, I thought that was a great gesture, and that just goes a long way in telling you, you know, the future of baseball is in very good hands.
Oh, of course.
People that care, people that aren't jerks, guys that, you know, you can look up to. The future of baseball
remember,
is bright.
I mean, these are the kids that when baseball went on strike, in, you know, 94, these are the kids that got so many autographs and the baseball players went out of their way to make these kids love baseball again because, you know, the strike had put such a bitter taste in their mouth. These are the kids that are a product of that stuff. You know what I mean? Those younger fans and that whole goodwill that happened years after 94, where they were, you know, went out of their way to sign autographs. And MLB kind of put them in the front and said, all right, you can go at the beginning of the game. I mean, before the game, you know, batting practice, talk to these guys, get autographs. You know, especially at spring training, they were accessible, made them accessible. These are the guys. So this is what they know. This is what they know. And it's great to see that they're doing that kind of stuff.
And Barry, here's another thing. I think the great thing to take out of this, And again, not a racist point, but the fact that two of them are African American players,
I think that
makes it that much better. It means that the programs that, you know, MLB has set in place to try to get African American players back into the game, just American players general, because we did have that big, huge Hispanic influx of players, and the fact that, you know, you look at these guys and you're getting more of an American based talent coming back, you know, it's a great thing.
Definitely. So but we got 6 seconds left, so I mean, give me your parting shot. Great show today, Timmy.
Yeah, great show. Parting shot, as always, good show. Can't wait to get back here next week Sunday. Of course, you knew I was taking Bryce Harper. You basically knew that from the way I set it up. But he's back in the lineup today. Shout out to Titus Young, former Lions receiver who just got arrested for the third time this week. Shout out to him. Barry, have a great weekend, everyone. Be safe. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yeah, definitely. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. MLB having the pink badge, the pink armband, all that stuff for breast cancer, all that good stuff for the mothers. So always a great time. Great time for the mothers. Follow us on Twitter, Sports City Chef, Sky the Villain, the Freak 313. We're always on there. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy your family and stay out of trouble. The villain is out. The Freak is out.
Excuse me as I kiss the sky. Riding on the wings of a dollar bill, or better yet, the anticipation of how it feels. Yeah, I guess I'm riding on that. Caught a flight here and I ain't trying to fly back. Nah, I held hands with the other side, and not afraid to still stand where the others hide. I foresee my afflictions in it, with no misgivings and no plans of trying to kick this issue. Nah, see the feeling is too strong to leave alone. The young boy is too far to leap from. The conversation is too crafted for me to believe this is something that could come at me. Easy for me, I mean, I follow the aroma and the aura of what it might be is bringing me closer. Higher than I ever been, caught it while catching it. I'm trying to keep it caught, takes precedence. My interpretation, never knew a feeling like this. Feeling like the feeling's price.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.